We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you could check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. If you're driving around the DMV, just turn on the free Odyssey app, open up your phone's apps, Odyssey app, get it for free, and search 910 The Fan to hear me in Richmond. Gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. You can always tweet me at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. And fans of this show, members of the AWOD Army out there know how much I love basketball. It is my favorite sport. The Redskins are my favorite team. The Commanders are my favorite team. But basketball is my favorite sport. It was my dream as a kid throughout my entire childhood to make it to the NBA. I love talking about how the All-Star festivities in my basement, I have my little hoop there. I thought I was Peja Stojakovic in the three-point contest. I was trying to be Jason Richardson in the dunk contest. It was my dream to make it to the NBA. And then I was cut from the high school basketball team. And I remember sitting in my bed crying, thinking, well, shoot, I'm going to have to come up with another dream. And this is that dream, talking about the NBA with thousands of DC sports fans. So anytime we get Wizards callers on the line, you know we're going to go to you first to talk some hoops. That's 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Tweet me at AWOD Radio. LifeWave tweets me, AWOD, you're overreacting to Alex Sarr. He made tremendous strides in the second half of last season. His numbers bear that out. He'll be better at the four. He's not a natural center. I told him I'm being harsh, but I'm being honest. I'm not giving up. But I was disappointed in what I saw last night from Alex Sarr. Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. We've got Rico in Waldorf. What's up, Rico?
What's up, AWOD?
How are you doing?
How you doing today?
I'm good,
man. Listen, this is in love, AWOD. We are a schizophrenic bipolar fan base, and I need everybody to take five steps back and relax. You were on the call with your last caller, and you said we missed on Alex Sarr. In year two, coming off of all rookie team season, I need everybody to take a deep breath. Like, summer league is not where you prove your effectiveness in the NBA. There have been so many players that have averaged 25, 5, and 10 that got cut. They didn't make the team for the regular season. We got to put things in perspective. This front office has done unbelievable work getting us to a space that we can see a plan. Alex Sarr will be fine, just like he was last year. Young kids will get developed. And if you want to be contending for a number one seed, you don't give up on your number two pick in his second season.
So, Rico, I'm not giving up on Alex Sarr. I'm not giving up on Alex Sarr. And I've actually been talking so much positivity about this front office because I do believe in them, and I believe there's a plan and there's a vision, and I'm okay with this vision taking 3 or 4 years. The reason I was going hard on Alex Sarr last segment is because we had a caller that was saying, I just want to make the playoffs. I just want to be a 5 seed like we were with Bradley Beal and John Wall. And I said, no, I don't want to do that.
You know what? I agree. But go look at Jokic's year two. Go look at it. Watch what he did in summer league, and look at him today.
So defend Alex Sarr. Defend Alex Sarr. Tell me what you think he can turn into.
I don't intend to defend him for summer league performances because I don't care. The only thing I want out of summer league is that everybody's healthy. All I care about is that when the regular season starts, he progresses and develops and becomes more and more effective, and that's what I saw last season. That's all I care about. This summer league hype is silly. It's silly. It doesn't pan out to the regular season or show stars. It never does.
So
it never. What's the kid that got drafted from Houston that went before Alex?
Reed
and
Shepard?
Everybody said, yeah, we missed on Reed Shepard. How many games did he play last year?
Right, he ended up on a team that was in win now mode.
Don't conflate. He was the superstar of Summer League, and everybody was ticked off that we missed him, and he spent the entire season in the G League.
Right.
Stop. And he wasn't a superstar there. Like, we gotta stop. Summer League is for development and for guys to get their feet wet. That's it.
Right, but I'm reacting to what I saw last night, and Alex Saar was god-awful last night and got bowled out by Malawak. And last year, Stephen Castle, hold on a second. Last year, Stephen Castle was the rookie of the year. Zachary Richichet had more votes. Jalen Wells had more votes. Even more people thought that Zach Edey was better than Alex Saar last year. I believe in this front office developing. And we got to admit this. Keyshawn George and Bub Carrington were way better than Alex Saar last year.
Not last night. Keyshawn was better, not Bub. But you ain't killing Bub, though.
Bro, because Bub is a pure point guard. He didn't hit his shots. 5 assists to 0 turnovers is good numbers for a point guard.
I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. I just want you to come back. That's all. Walk away from the light. Don't go to the light. It's not as bad as it felt. That's all.
Yeah. No, I mean, I see you. I see what you're saying. I'm just reacting to what I saw last night, and I'm disappointed. I thought I would see more. That's all.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, I'm with you, bro.
Love your show.
Thanks
Have
for calling.
Day,
let's go
All
to
right.
Ed in D.C. Ed, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. You know I like talking Wiz.
Man, I love the Wiz. I've been a long-time fan, long-time listener, too. I just ain't never called in. But that guy, man, he triggered me, man. He was so negative about the Wizards. And, like, I see so much positive stuff. I mean, dealing with what we have dealt with, and even having decent teams back in the day with John Wall and Bill and the Gilbert Arenas era, like, it was mediocre, but it wasn't settling my soul. What I see now, though, with all these young players that we're getting, I see a real plan. I see a real vision. I agree that Alex Saar, what I feel like what it is with Alex Saar, I just feel like he's mentally a little weak. You know, he has the physical attributes, but it's just not there mentally. So we need to give him time, but I didn't like what I saw last night with him, per se. But who I love on this team right now is A.J. Johnson. Mm. Because he has all the attributes. He just needs some time. We have a lot of good players. Keyshawn George is great. Bub Carrington. And they forgetting that this kid, Bub Carrington, is 19 years old. And he's well beyond his years as far as, like, being a point guard. That's how I see it. So if we give it some time, we got something really going on that's good. Actually, I stopped going to the games a long time ago. But this year I'm actually going back to the games because I feel like they're going to be a fun team to watch. Even if they lose, I feel like they're going to be a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
So
how much longer do you think this rebuild is going to take? I'm here for it. I can sit back and watch this team lose games.
I don't care how long it takes. I promise. I ain't mean to cut you off, but I'm here for it. The rebuild could take 3 or 4 years, but I actually don't think the rebuild is going to take that long. I think we're one player away from actually doing the right thing. We just need some time. Maybe 2 years. I give us 2 years, and I think that we're going to be a solid team.
Good call, Ed. Let's go to Bill in Alexandria. What's up, Bill? You're on the Fan.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I think your expectations are a little bit high for these young guys. I mean, look at you for Saar. You said you're ready to give up on him. The kid's 20 years old. I mean, come on, man.
No, I'm not ready.
How many
I'm not
20
ready,
year olds?
I'm not ready to give Chris, did I actually say on air I'm ready to give up on Alex Saar? I didn't say that. I'm saying my biggest fear is that he's a bust. And what I saw last night, it was that word. I'm not saying he is, but I didn't like what I saw.
I understand, but he's only 20 years old. He's still got a lot of growing up to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, is he going to be one of the greatest centers and of all time? Probably not.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is we got a great group of young guys to work with here, which we haven't had for decades. I mean, we're undoing Ernie Grunfeld and Shepard. That takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's going to take time. And as if we stick with these guys, and I'm referring to management, they're gonna take us places that we haven't been in a really long time.
Yeah, it's just gonna take some time, and there's gonna be frustrating moments. And for me, I talked about the positives. I thought Keyshawn George was great. I believe in Bob Carrington, and I don't care that he was 1 for 9. Like, I do believe he's a pure point guard. I think he's like a Chris Paul the way he can get around the court. But as much as I'm talking positive about some guys, I got to tell you what I saw about Sarr, right? And I got to tell you that Trey Johnson, I'm excited about him. He looked a little undersized in my mind. So I'm just reacting to what I saw last night. And maybe, you know, maybe you could say I'm being impatient. I'm here for the ride. It could take 5 years. I'm going to watch the games.
Well, I'm just saying don't put all your eggs in a summer league basket. I mean, Come on. It's summer league.
Yeah, no, it is.
It means absolutely zilch in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, no, it does. I just thought I'd see better.
You will. It's going to take time.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bill, I appreciate you chiming in. Let's go to Skip in Vienna real quick here. Skip, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, AWOD, enjoy your show and listen to it all the time. I'm concerned about your comments about Sarr. And I remember back before this year's draft, the argument to draft Malawak was that he's a center, and that would allow Sarr to play out away from the basket where he seems more comfortable. But the counter argument to that was that Sarr's not very good at the four, and so you're taking somebody who might be a promising center prospect and turning him into a mediocre power forward prospect. You know, this is a problem. Given how aggressive this front office is, do you see them packaging him up in some kind of a creative trade for a center or something else before word gets out in the league that he might be a bust?
No, I think it's too soon for that. I do. I mean, I'm being hard on him because I didn't like what I saw, but in the grand scheme of things, the front office is still going to believe in the kid because there's so much upside in his size and his shooting ability. He's got good ball handling. He really just needs great coaching and development. And hopefully Brian Keefe is that guy because, I mean, a caller kind of said it. He's just kind of weak. Like, he just needs to almost man up and be more aggressive, and then I think you'd see a better performance.
Yeah, just watching Malawak last night, he just seemed like a natural center, what
he
a
did.
Center should look like. And Sarr doesn't have that appearance. Well, thanks, AWOD. We'll watch this with increased concern.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Thanks, Skip. I appreciate you chiming in. Yeah, I mean, it's just the whole thing of Sarr catching the ball at the top of the key, you know, one power dribble, and then he hands it off, or he sets a screen, and he just pops. It's not what I want to see from him, but, you know, I'm not giving up. I know people are thinking that's what I'm saying. No, I'm not giving up on him. I just didn't like what I saw. It was just one game, and it's just summer league, but I'm reacting to what I saw last night because I told you, I thought this team could win the summer league title. We lose by 19 points to the damn Phoenix Suns. Of course I'm going to be a little upset. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the GOAT with the free Odyssey app. Appreciate all the calls. I love talking Washington Wizards basketball, even when it's frustrating. You know, I want to close out the Wizards conversation with this. I believe in Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. I believe in them even if one of their picks misses because it's tough. You can't hit on every single pick. You got to swing for the fences. You got to draft guys based off of potential. That's why they drafted Bilal Coulibaly because they hope he has potential. So, Sarr, I didn't think he had a good performance. I'm not giving up on him at all. I need him to certainly develop, though, and hopefully this coaching staff will be able to do that. And Trey Johnson is an exciting prospect. I believe the guy I believe in most is Bub. I really do. And from the insiders that I've had on this show, a lot of people really believe that Keyshawn George is the one that could be the star that kind of leads this team here. But it's Summer League. It doesn't really matter. I just thought I was going to see a better performance here, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. And I'm so glad that we were able to, you know, get enough Wizards callers to talk about it for an hour, because this is a station that's going to be dominated by the Commanders in about 10 days. And speaking of that, as we are just 10 days away from Washington Commanders 2025 training camp, 10 days away, here are the 10 Commanders, I believe, with the most pressure on them at training camp. And if you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Tweet me at AWOD Radio. These are guys that I just feel like are going to have pressure on them. Maybe the pressure will be great for them, and maybe it won't be, but these are the guys that I feel like the fan base will certainly be hoping these guys can have a great training camp. And number 10, I feel like anytime you do a list with the Commanders, and it is list season in the middle of the summer here as we're looking for things to talk about, you have to have Jaden on the list. Jaden is everything about this team. Jaden is the face of the franchise. Jaden is the biggest reason we had 12 wins last year. Jaden's the rookie of the year. And so 10 Commanders with the most pressure on them to perform in training camp, Jaden Daniels at number 10. He's got to build off his rookie season. I mean, there's pressure on him. Everyone's going to be watching every throw. Oh, does he look stronger? Does he look faster? Does he look bigger? Is the accuracy still there? How's he connecting with his new weapons on the outside? How is he grasping another understanding, a deeper understanding of the Cliff Kingsbury offense? When you talk about Commanders with pressure on them, Jaden's got to be on that list because he's the man. He is everything for this team. Without Jaden Daniels, I don't even want to watch this team play. As much as Marcus Mariota won games last year, Jaden's everything. Number 9, Javon Kinlaw. And that's because I feel like this fan base has really questioned that move. And around the league, people have questioned that move. The contract numbers from a lot of insiders don't make sense based off of his performances in the last few years. It's a position that the Washington Commanders had a weakness in. They got to get better on the defensive line. And so I think there's going to be pressure on Kinlaw to kind of step in here into a bigger role in Washington after not being really that successful in his last stop. 8, I'm going Will Harris. And I think you're going to see a lot of defensive players on my list and probably other people talking about the defense, because the defense is under a lot of pressure. This offense was like top 5 offense throughout the entire season. And in the playoffs, this offense was unreal, especially against the Detroit Lions. And the defense had a good game in that one too. And then against the Eagles, the defense was awful. And when we lost games this year, even though it wasn't many, first time pretty much in my lifetime that we only lost 5 games, and I got to do 12 victory Mondays on the fan. But when we lost, it was the defense letting us down. The defense letting the Cowboys backup quarterback score 36 points. The defense letting the Baltimore Ravens go up and down the field. Heck, week 1, the defense was so bad. Mike Evans was wide open every time Baker Mayfield went back to snap the ball. I mean, it was just, the defense was awful. And we would be so much more upset with Dan Quinn and coming at the defense, because he's supposed to be the defensive-minded coach, if it wasn't for how much of a bright spot that offense was. So number 8 for me, it's the guy who's replacing one of our best defenders. I would have re-signed Jeremy Chinn. I let everybody know. You signed him to a 1-year deal, a prove-it deal, right? Wagner to a 1-year prove-it deal. Ertz to a 1-year prove-it deal. And Ertz and Wagner earned it to come back. I thought Jeremy Chinn did too. I thought he played well enough that I would have given him another contract. He got paid to go elsewhere. So they get Will Harris to replace him. Will Harris is number 8 on my list of top 10 Commanders with the most pressure on them this upcoming season and on training camp, which is 10 days away. 10 Commanders with the most pressure on them. Will Harris at number 8. I'm really hopeful that he's going to have a few turnovers. He's going to be better at defending the deep ball and helpful in the secondary against the pass than Jeremy Chinn. But I almost know, I feel like, he's not going to be as good at stopping the run. and stopping, you know, short passes in the box like Jeremy Chinn was. So Will Harris at number 8. At number 7 and at number 6, two guys coming into year 2. And you've heard me talk about this before if you've listened to the show. A big part of this team's development, in my mind, is less about the rookies we drafted this year and more about the second-year guys from last year. For example, Brandon Coleman moving into guard. For example, Johnny Newton with a bigger role with no John Allen. A big part of this team taking a big leap forward is going to have to be the year two guys playing impactful snaps in January. So number 7 is Luke McCaffrey. Number 6 is Ben Sennett. Those are two guys that on the offensive side of the ball, Washington needs some production. 10 guys with the most pressure on them, 10 days away from training camp. Number 7, Luke McCaffrey. Number 6, Ben Sennett. For McCaffrey, you know, the analytics all looked great for him, right? He was able to create separation. He's got speed. He's got good hands. But we need more production from him. Maybe it was just a bad situation last year because Jaden found success throwing to Terry McLaurin. Jaden found success throwing to Olamide Zaccheaus, Noah Brown, and Ziami Brown. And maybe that was just a crowded room. It's not as crowded this year with Diami gone, with Zaccheaus gone. And, yes, you bring in Jalen Lane and you bring in Deebo Samuel, who I'm excited for. But Luke McCaffrey has to take a step forward. There's definitely pressure on him, and part of that might just be the McCaffrey last name. 6, Ben Sennett. And I think the pressure on Sennett has to do with, 1, he was drafted, and there was a lot of high expectations for him, and he had a really good preseason, and he had that big play where everyone would call him Baby Gronk, and we got excited, and he didn't see much. But the reason there's pressure on him is because I don't believe Zach Ertz can replicate what he did last year. I just don't. He found the fountain of youth. He stayed healthy. Can that happen again? Bates got paid, deserved to be paid. When you watch what he did on tape, he was an awesome blocker. But what are we going to do with Ben Sennett here this year? And the other thing why there's pressure on Sennett is Michael Phillips and several other insiders have told me they would have drafted a tight end this year or gone out and signed a tight end this year. Heck, if Ben Sennett doesn't perform this year, I think they'll draft his replacement next year. I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on Ben Sennett when we get to training camp. 10 days away from training camp, here are the 10 Commanders. AWOD believes has the most pressure on them. 10, Jaden Daniels. 9, Javon Kinlaw. 8, Will Harris. 7, Luke McCaffrey. 6, Ben Sennett. We'll get to the top 5 after this commercial break. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Metal Chris running the ones and twos. If you can't tell by the music he plays coming back from break, you're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. 10 days away from training camp. This is the most excited I've been for training camp in a long time. I know I want to get down there. I want to do some live shows. I want to get some interviews. I mean, there's so many guys I want to talk to. I had a listener reach out to me, and he was like, who's the number one guy you want to talk to when you go to training camp that you think you will have a chance to interview? And I was like, well, I don't know. I'm getting Deebo Samuel. I don't think I'm getting Jaden Daniels. Right, I don't know if I'm getting the stars, but I would love to talk with like Tyler Biadasz. I would love to talk with Noah Brown, like those guys. The second unit almost for the Washington Commanders. Those are guys I think I'd be able to get on the show. Training camp just 10 days away. 10 Commanders with the most pressure on them. Just to recap, in case you're just tuning in, 10, Jaden Daniels. Everyone's going to be watching him. All eyes on him. comes with pressure to build off your rookie season. 9, Javon Kinlaw, that big contract. 8, Will Harris, pressure to replace Jeremy Chinn. 7, Luke McCaffrey. It's got to be Luke's season. 6, Ben Sennett. Ben needs to do something this season, or they might replace him next year. 5, I'm going to say Brandon Coleman because of that change in position. And kind of going back to what I said last segment, a big part of this team taking a step forward is everybody that was a rookie last year not having the old sophomore slump. I've never believed in the sophomore slump. Just want to let people know that. Just a funny little saying there. I don't believe in the sophomore slump, but that's a big part of this team's development. That's Luke McCaffrey, Ben Sennett, Brandon Coleman, Jaden Daniels as well, right? Like, these guys need to build off of the success that they had last season. Or for Brandon Coleman, it's the pressure of trying to learn and master will be a new position for him in the NFL, but not a new position for him overall, as he was the starting guard for TCU when they made it to the national championship a few years ago. But Brandon Coleman at number 5, and it's the offensive line. There's pressure on this offensive line. I do think that the moves that this front office has made to bolster this offensive line, like on paper, this should work out to perfection on paper. We're talking about an offensive line that maybe went from like a 77 in Madden to an 87, a borderline a 90 if you get an awesome LT, Laremy Tunsil, at left tackle. But Brandon Coleman moving into guard, there's pressure on him there for sure. He's going to have to learn it, understand it, and hopefully he'll be helped by LT to his left and helped by Tyler Biadasz to his right. But I love the idea of a bigger guard. It's, you know, Mekhi Becton. It worked out for the Philadelphia Eagles and their Super Bowl championship. 4, 10 Commanders with the most pressure on them. I think it's right tackle Josh Connerly here. There's a lot of expectations for this kid. Part of the pressure has to be the fact that your offense coordinator kind of handpicked you, right? He went into the general manager's office, right? He went into Adam Peters' office and he said, I want that left tackle. I want that guy out of Oregon. And he got him. He got your guy. So now your guy's got to perform. And right tackle was an issue last year in my mind. Like, Andrew Wiley was not good enough on a conference championship team. He might not have even been good enough on a playoff team to be your starting right tackle. And I did feel like the left tackle and the right tackle were exposed against the Eagles. They were exposed a few times. Like, Brandon Coleman was solid. But I loved how the front office said, it's not a strength. We can make it a strength if we trade for Laremy Tunsil. So 5, Brandon Coleman. 4, Josh Connerly at the right tackle position. 3, Marshawn Lattimore. And I thought about putting him at number 1 on this list. I really did. And the more I think about it, he probably should be number 1. Because half the fan base has already written him off. Half the fan base has already decided that was the one bad move the front office has made. And I'm going to keep going back to it was like time and place. The team was winning. They had to improve defensively in the secondary. Adam Peters threw the dart at the dartboard. Got a guy that he could get. There were other corners that were available at the deadline. Got Lattimore. Didn't have to give up too much to get him. But maybe they didn't fully do their due diligence on the injury. Right? Maybe they didn't. Because, you know, Cakes was so funny on the Junkies, but I believed him. The whole joke was, yeah, he's got a hamstring injury. That's going to magically heal up as soon as he gets off the plane in Ashburn, right? But it didn't. And his performances were not good enough. And it pissed me off against the Bucs when it was like, he was just trying to fight. He wasn't trying to play football. He was just trying to old school fight and bully Mike Evans. And it wasn't working. And this secondary is a weakness for the Washington Commanders. Mikey Sanderson was your best last year, and he was a rookie. There's an unbelievable amount of pressure on Marshawn Lattimore, and I'm very worried. I'm very worried because I do think that that's a big part of this defense next year is being able to have two solid corners because we know in this division, every team has two good wide receivers, including Washington, hopefully. But against the Dallas Cowboys, definitely against the Eagles, even against the Giants, you're going to need two solid corners on the outside. There's a lot of pressure on Marshawn Lattimore. You know, I kind of think he's going to be decent. Like, I don't think we're going to get him back to a Pro Bowl. I don't, I don't see him having four interceptions, maybe two, right? But can he stay healthy? Can he be on the field? And can he make impactful plays? And that might just be a couple pass deflections or maybe just not getting pass interference penalties, because that was the biggest issue with Benjamin St. Juice. And you just could not play corner without grabbing and pulling. And Lattimore had a few penalties on him last year. That was part of the issues. So he's got to be number three. Number two, the new weapon at wide receiver, Deebo Samuel. And the pressure for him is because it feels like he's just become the number one wide receiver that people love to hate on. You had a Hall of Famer in Terrell Owens calling him fat. I mean, what the hell? Like, okay, T.O., I get it. You're in incredible shape. Deebo Samuel's not fat. Look at some of the radio hosts, like me. I mean, come on now. That's just so upsetting. So I think Deebo is going to be able to deal with this pressure. But there's pressure because of the weight issue, which I don't think is a real deal. There's pressure because of the performances last year. The production was not there. And, you know, I was reading an article about the offseason the Commanders had where they gave us a C, and it was because they hated the Deebo trade. And this one writer was talking about how, PFF graded him a 37 last year, and it was his worst numbers. Yeah, I mean, that is true. But there were a million other factors that led to him struggling last year, like Christian McCaffrey not being on the field at all. I didn't think Brock Purdy was very good. I didn't think Trent Williams was good enough to give Brock Purdy the time. And the defense was bad for the 49ers, too, so they were constantly losing, you know? So I think Deebo is going to be under a lot of pressure. But I'm excited. This is the most excited I've been for a new wide receiver in Washington since Pierre Garçon. I loved Pierre. And when he came here to watch, I was like, man, I think he's going to be our number one. And it was like the first game he had that unbelievable catch on the sideline. And he continued to be a dog here in D.C. And I'm hoping we can get something like that from Deebo Samuel. Number one. And again, as I'm talking about this, number one probably should have been Marshawn Lattimore. But the failure of Emmanuel Forbes, has me believing that Trey Amos is going to be under the most pressure. Because I do feel like this fan base is going to be looking at all of the corners, especially with the pressure on Marshawn Lattimore, which puts even more pressure on Trey Amos to be a player that, once again, can play meaningful snaps in January. Because the expectation is this team will get to the postseason. So this is not like, hey, Trey Amos, have a good rookie season and get him next year. It's, we drafted this guy because they believe he's NFL ready to then be at least on the field in a playoff game. You don't have to be cornerback one or cornerback two, but can he, you know, take some snaps away from Noah Igh? So I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on Trey Amos, but part of it's because of just how awful the Emmanuel Forbes draft pick was. And so, like, that's what's going to be in people's mind. And as great as Mikey Sainer still was, I think there's a lot of pressure on Trey Amos. But I think the kid's going to perform. I'm super excited for him and Deebo Samuel. I think Brandon Coleman will have success at guard. I believe in Ben Sennett. I'm probably more excited for Jalen Lane than Luke McCaffrey, to be honest. I fully believe that Jaden Daniels has the work ethic to not have a sophomore slump and to build off of his success as a rookie. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Call in. Tell AWOD your thoughts on the Washington Commanders. 10 days away from training camp. Who's got pressure on them? 1-800-636-1067. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan, we're live and local till 12 noon. You can always take the radio show with you on the road with the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Tweet me at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Tony tweets me, and I love this tweet from Tony. AWOD, in my opinion, and I just went through the 10 Commanders, I believe, with the most pressure on them, 10 days away from training camp. He says, in my opinion, Jerron Payne has an enormous amount of pressure. Allen is gone. Now it falls on Payne to make the line dominant again. It's certainly a great point. I am hopeful that Jerron Payne will have a big season. We were talking about who we think would be more impactful this upcoming season between Payne and Johnny Newton, and I do think it's Payne. I think it'll take Newton some time to get to the level Payne is at in the National Football League, and we really do need him to have a great season, because I feel like the line is a bit of a weakness, for sure. I mean, I still feel like there's going to be another edge rusher in the building before September 7th against the New York Giants. And Commander tweets me, AWOD, fans forget Debo had pneumonia last season. Try and playing football at a high level coming off of that. There's a lot of pressure on Debo, but I think he will have a great season. I also, maybe this is a hot take, maybe not. I think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback he's ever had throwing him the football by far. Way better than Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy. So if Terry can have his best statistical season of his stellar career under Jaden Daniels, maybe Debo Samuels can as well. Phone lines open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Reggie in D.C. What's up, Reggie?
What's going on, AWOD?
How are you doing?
Good, buddy. I think a lot of people, they keep looking at our defense, and they look at our defense from a personnel perspective, and we were top 10 in sacks and pass defense last year. Our rushing defense was awful. So I think for me, the biggest pressure is not from an individual. I look at it not from an individual perspective. I look at it from a team. Like, think about it. I'm a diehard fan, right? So we've never been in a position where, like, now we are the hunted. Like, we are expected to win. We're expected to compete. You know, you look at, like, all of these different, you know, little sports shows. We are one of the Super Bowl betting favorites. I think we are maybe, like, 7-1, 8-1, or something like that. But, like, we are one of the teams that is expected to make a deep run. So now with that type of expectation, you know, do you play a little tight? You know what I mean? Like, you know, again, like, how are you overall? So I look at it, and I think when I look at it overall, I trust Dan Quinn with the secondary is the least of my worries, because I think of what my last point. I think about it like this. They made Trayvon Diggs a Pro Bowler. They made Deron Bland, he led the league in interceptions. They made him a Pro Bowler in Dallas. Forbes can't play, and Benjamin St. Juice couldn't play, because if they could, they would still be here, and the secondary wouldn't have been a concern, because you would have saw it, because Quinn and Witt have a track record of success with defense and DB. So for me, going into training camp, the biggest worry for me is how do you handle prosperity? And not necessarily say you rest on your laurels, you know, but how do you handle it? And then if I had to pick, if you say, okay, according to what I just did, pick the group that you're worried about. Man, I'm worried about a running back. Brian Robinson is always hurt. Eckler is known for having a concussion or two. And then we got a kid that we drafted in the seventh round that we don't know about. So can we really take pressure off of Jaden Daniels with our running back? So maybe collectively the running backs would have been one that's a real concern for me, because Brian Robinson, I don't know if he is what he is, but
yeah.
I just don't have enough confidence in him in 16 games.
So, Reggie, let me ask you this, because I totally agree with your whole point and the perspective that, like, Dan Quinn was hired to be a defensive-minded coach. I believe in his schemes to make the defense better. I believe in Joe Witt Jr. I don't think they had enough talent last year. I agree. Benjamin St. Juice is garbage. They weren't going to be able to get anything out of him. And so I think those guys can hopefully scheme up this defense to be better. But is the talent level, because those guys are going to be on the sidelines, is the talent level that they're going to be 11 on the field good enough defensively for Washington?
I think from a stopping the run, and remember now, like, you can't remake from a talent perspective in two off seasons how bad we was talent-wise for Ron Rivera. So it's going to take time, but what they've done in the off season to provide bulk up front to stop the run, remember, Philadelphia, they beat us up front.
Yeah.
The first play of the game in the NFC Championship, Dante Fowler took the wrong angle, and then Saquon was gone. So if you're a little bit more stout up front, where your Dietrich Wise and Goldman and those guys are a lot more kind of stout up front, then I'm confident that they can be able to scheme up. Because sometimes you can kind of over-scheme. Well, you know that with Jaden Daniels. You can over-scheme. And again, if you got a little bit of talent, but you can over-scheme talent. So, yes, in a long-winded answer, yes, I think we can. Because stopping the run, as far as, like, who are you going to have to compete with, you know, to get out of the NFC, the number one is the Eagles. The Eagles didn't kill us throwing the ball all across the yard. They killed us for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Like, we couldn't stop him on the run. So, yeah, I think so. I think we have just enough in another offseason or two, then we can really start talking about kind of improving that defense to be more of a, I almost call it a leap, but Avar, you know this, man. We were bad personnel-wise under Ron, so we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
We got a long way to go.
You're right about that. Good call, man. Appreciate you chiming in.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I think we'll miss Dante Fowler's sacks, but I will never miss watching him try to execute an awful spin move, falling into his own guy, and having Saquon Barkley run all over us. I mean, like, Chris, what was he thinking on that? Like, edge rushers don't spin on running plays. I was just like, idiotic.
Even Bruce Smith didn't do that.
I mean, just what? Oh, we do got to replace his production in the sacks, but I'm not going to get over that. I mean, that was just the worst way to start a conference championship game. And so, I mean, look, the biggest thing for me with the defense this year is we got to create more turnovers. We got to create more turnovers. We got to get off the field more on third downs, and we got to get the bleep off the field on fourth down. That pissed me off last year. When you look it up, we were not we were in the bottom half, maybe even bottom 10, in terms of fourth down conversions that we allowed. And it might have been the fact we played the Eagles three times, and they pushed us to death. But throughout the course of the season, we went for it on fourth down, and we were historically great. But we were also awful defensively at getting off the field on third down and on fourth down, and we didn't create enough turnovers. And so that's what I'm hoping the schemes will be better with another year of everybody understanding what Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn are expecting out of them. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, I appreciate you hanging on hold. How are you, man?
Good, Adam. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great. I can't wait for that baseball draft, by the way. I'll get to that then. Well, two guys I'm looking for in this upcoming camp and season, Chris Rodriguez and Luke. You know, it's the thing. I love seeing, you know, father and son, brothers making it in sports. And one per family is amazing to have two. So, you know, his name, he's got some talent, but he's got to improve. And Chris Rodriguez definitely has to show something this year. And back to the baseball draft, I hope Washington, I like that pitcher, Seth Hernandez, somewhere in Southern California, Corona High School, but what do I know? I hope they draft Ethan Holliday. Maybe he won't even have to be in the minors too long. Alana needs another bat, especially somebody who's behind James Wood.
Yeah.
What do you think, Adam? And enjoy the rest of your weekend.
I appreciate the call. I'm kind of leaning towards I think they'll go pitching because the pitching staff is bad, and I don't know. They might end up trading Mackenzie Gore, even though I don't want that to happen. Mitch, I appreciate you chiming in, man. And let me talk about the two Commanders that you mentioned. So Chris Rodriguez is like the forgotten man at running back. I mean, 173 yards and just 35 carries last year. That's the 5 yards a carry that we want out of Brian Robinson, right? And I don't think Chris Rodriguez would have those numbers if he was starting games for us, all right? I mean, by the time he played, he was the fourth quarter man. What happens in the fourth quarter? The defense is tired, and he was able to run all over them. And he got two touchdowns, and, I mean, just felt like the guy was a walking first down, you know, this past season. And so he is kind of the forgotten man, especially with McNichols there and Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. But we'll see what he can bring in training camp. And then, yeah, we'll see what happens with Luke McCaffrey as well. But there's certainly pressure under him. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. We got an hour left of AWOD Radio here on a Saturday morning on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.